Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. John 14, 7, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus has had some individual back and forth between his disciples during this Last Supper, hasn't he? We've seen John lean upon his Savior and ask him who it was that was going to betray him. We've seen him talk to Judas, what you're planning on doing, go and do it quickly. We've seen him tell Peter, well, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. Thomas was one who said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we follow you there? How can we know the way? And now with Philip. I'm sure Philip's question is a rather innocent one. Maybe he just hasn't thought it through. Lord, show us the Father and it'll make us happy. But it certainly was exasperating to Jesus. You can see in the way that he responds. What we're going to look at today are four ways in these short verses that we've read, four ways in which Jesus has shown to his disciples and proves to us that he is who he says he is. How long does it take for you to get to know someone? Think of your closest friends. Hopefully the first one you think of, if you're married, is your mate. And you say, well, we're still getting to know each other. And that's true, isn't it? But how long did you date before you became engaged? How long from the time you met till the time you were married? Close friends, could be childhood friends, high school classmates, college friends. We think of friendships as lasting over periods of years, if not decades. But if you think again about how long it was from the time that you met your mate to the time that you were planning on your marriage, on average, it's probably in the neighborhood of 2, maybe 3 years. And very much less than that for many. How long has Jesus been with his disciples? More than 3 years. And yet they still have trouble comprehending who Jesus really is and what, and especially what kind of kingdom he is going to establish. Do they truly know him? I'll give you the four ways that Jesus says that they have plenty of evidence to believe that he is who he claims to be and to understand what his purpose is. The first one is his presence. The second one, his words or his teachings. The third are his works or his miracles. And then the last one is his power or authority. Presence, teachings, miracles, and power. The fact that Jesus responds to Philip in verse 9, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip?" I've written out on the marquee, "Have I been so long with you, yet still you do not know me?" We've had relationships like that, haven't we? Where we think another person understands who we are and what we are about, only to be flabbergasted because they misinterpret what our motivations are. Time, quite often, is the healer of those wounds, if you can just stick together. Well, here Jesus says to Philip, "Wait a minute, Philip. Don't you understand, because of all the things that we've gone through together, all the time that we've spent, that there is no separation between me and the Father? Do you not really know me?" And you think of how the testimony for Jesus' messiahship was given to these disciples at the very beginning of their walk with Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized by John, the voice came out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." John himself had been the fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah 40 and verse 3. A voice is calling, "Clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." Matthew records the fulfillment of that in Matthew 11 and verse 10. "This is the one about whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" And so they had an inside track at the very beginning, these disciples of Christ, a declaration, first by the prophet, John the Baptist, fulfilling the prophet, Isaiah, from 700 years before, the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." And now they have walked with Jesus. And Jesus says to Philip, and by implication to the rest of those disciples, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you still do not know me?" You've shared office space with people and maybe not gotten to know them at all. You were in your little cubicle and they were in theirs. Perhaps you even work side by side with someone in manual labor, truck driving, or just working outside, and you just didn't take the time to talk. And so spending time doesn't necessarily mean getting to know someone. But that's not the way it's been with Jesus and his disciples. They are with him 24/7. The method of teaching at that time by a rabbi was to have his students follow him. Literally, they were on retreat for the full time that Jesus was ministering and testifying and teaching. And he says, "Philip," and think about that. You go to college and you're there for your first year, and maybe it's during that year that you decide what your major is going to be, and you solidify it and with some courses that you take in your second year. But by your third year, which is really only 24 months into your education, you're focused. If you're going to graduate in 4 years, you're focused by the beginning semester of that third year. Well, we're at graduation time now. Even with that analogy, there has been that much time and more. I mean, they've been having summer courses too. They've been 24/7 with Jesus. Jesus has said to them, even prior to this, through many "I am" statements, "I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life," he has just said. And it's seemingly in response to that statement that Philip says. These "I am" statements are statements of deity. And Philip comes back with, "Show us the Father, and we'll be happy." What's Jesus' response? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Let's pause for a minute, step back just a little bit. How long have you known Jesus? How old were you when you were baptized into Christ? That you confessed that you believed that He was the Son of God, repented of your sins, and went down into the watery grave to have your sins washed away. Has your relationship with Jesus deepened? Satan has a way of distracting us, doesn't he? But to walk daily with Jesus, prayerfully, you can look back upon that time and compare it with now, and you have grown tremendously, spiritually, in Jesus. We'll talk about some of the ways in which that can happen as we look at those other testimonies of Jesus' proofs that He and the Father are one. But just thinking about the time element of walking with Jesus, there is much to be said for longevity in the Lord. Turn with me to hymn number 74. Hymn number 74. Though so in His presence there is comfort, in His presence there is peace. When we seek the Father's heart, we will find such blessed assurance in the presence of the Lord. In His presence there is comfort. In His presence there is peace. When we seek the Father's heart, we will find such blessed assurance in the presence of the Lord. Cover me, Lord, with Your presence. It is rather comforting to me to think of those disciples and their relationship with Jesus and the number of hours, days, seasons, and even years that they have spent walking literally in His footprints. The time that He has taken. And it's not easy to have someone that you think is a close friend betray you. And Jesus is experiencing that even now with Judas. Or to have them in your presence be somewhat lacking in humility, as Peter was boasting. There is that disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's the way He's described, John. Thomas, he seems to have a physical kingdom in mind and just is not accepting that Jesus is going to go anywhere. We don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? And now Philip, disassociating Jesus from deity. That's what He's done. Show us the Father and we'll be happy. And have I been so long with You and yet still You do not know Me? Really, that applies to not only all of those disciples, but to us as well. We're still growing, aren't we, in our relationship with Jesus. And so we should. But we should have confidence that since He came to earth, died on our behalf, was resurrected from the tomb, as we'll see in verses later on in this lesson, we can have confidence that He is deity, that He and the Father are one. Jesus said another way, though, in verse 10, that there is proof of who I am, are my teachings. Listen to these words. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. The very words that I've been given to you, giving to you, are not the words of man. No, they come from the Father. Jesus was able in His teachings to boil down the 600 plus laws of the law of Moses into two. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark records that for us in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. What Jesus was saying is true religion is not ritual. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that we are required to do by way of God's commandments, such as assembling on the first day of the week and celebrating the Lord's Supper with the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. It's not that ritual is absent, but religion is to be relationship, first with God and then with our neighbor. Because it's our behavior, it's how we respond to God, to others, to the challenges of life that prove whether we are of the faith. The writer of Proverbs in chapter 23 and verse 7 says it simply, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus' teachings enable us to understand what the will of God is, what it is that God expects of us. And by those teachings, we come to learn and to know. These are spiritual. These are enlightened. These are of God. And it's transformative. We should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in the process then build relationships with our fellow man. It's a religion that is real. We bind to our hearts that which is truth. Jesus has simply said earlier, just a few verses above, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ's presence, being able to spend that time with Him, was a testimony. The very words that He has spoken have proven true, not simply in their lifetime, but throughout the lifetime of mankind. There's a consistency in what Christ has revealed. And then Christ says in verse 11, and if that's not enough for you, then my works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. The miracles that Jesus did testified to His deity. Matthew records in Matthew 11 and verse 5, the blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Could you witness the stilling of the storm and not know that this was the Son of God? Evidently they could. The casting out of demons, the healing of the blind and the lame, the deaf. Jesus says, the proof is all around you. And I don't think He's simply talking to Philip. I think Philip has caused this focus, but Jesus is saying, the evidence is overwhelming. My power over disease, my power over disabilities, my power over nature. And Jesus has proven again and again that He can even read the hearts, not just of His disciples, but also of the religious leaders of the day who castigate Him and doubt His deity. Jesus truly is, because of the miracles that he does, the Son of God. And then finally, Jesus says, and believe this, that whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. Jesus has demonstrated his power over the realm of darkness, hasn't he? He resisted the temptations and every other one that followed after that. He cast out the demons. He has gone into the dominion of Satan, which is the realm of the dead, and raised the dead. And then he, following this conversation with his disciples, very shortly, within 3 days or so, will be resurrected from the dead. The Hebrew writer puts it this way, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Jesus, by being resurrected from the dead, rendered Satan powerless. He went to his domain and conquered him. Paul says simply in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. As Jesus is about to leave his disciples, some of the last words that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You want to know, Philip, that you have seen the Father when you see me? Because I am the one to whom all authority has been given. And certainly the evidences of Christ's own resurrection at this particular moment in time have yet to come. But they declare, not simply to his disciples of note, those that are walking with him right now, but to us, in my name, by my authority, through my will, I have power over all things. Satan can't hold a candle to Jesus. Ask in my name, and it will be done. Jesus will say toward the end of our reading, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 14 and verse 14. Paul says simply of Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. All the things that God has promised are made available through who? Through Jesus, by his power. Let me finish reading now the Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18 passage. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's kind of a neat reversal. He says, my presence is with you to the end. He's telling Philip, it was my presence. You've walked with me. It's evidence that I and the Father are one. Go therefore now and teach. All authority is mine, and I bless you with the power to accomplish my will. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. His presence, his word or teachings, his works or miracles or signs, his power. His presence, his teaching, his miracles, his power prove that truly he is God. He and the Father are one. Turn with me to hymn number 889.
889. Though so
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you feel? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Do you know Jesus? Knowing Jesus. There was a song years ago, and I'll be honest with you. I couldn't have told you when it came to mind, when it was popular. And I found out I didn't even know the group. Have you ever heard of a group called Simply Red? This song was popular in 1992. And I think you might recall the lyrics, you that have gray in your hair. It went something like this. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. Simply Red? It was a British group, by the way. Philip, have I been with you so long, yet still you do not know me? Do you know Jesus? Knowing Jesus is what life is all about. Proofs, his presence, he walked this earth. His teachings, there are none like them. They are the way, the truth, and the life. The miracles that he performed, power over disease, over nature, over the devil, his resurrection, his authority, and he'll deliver on his promises, won't he?